talking about saints today, I want to begin by asking you, how do you define saint? What's a saint?
Holy. Yeah. Selfless.
Selfless. Anything else come to mind?
Don't they have to have a miracle associated?
In Roman Catholic tradition, saints with a capital S have miracles attributed to them. Yep. Well, so if we go to the American Heritage Dictionary, it says two things. The first one I'm going to give you is perhaps one that you hear in common conversation. A very virtuous, kind, or patient person. The example the dictionary offers for this usage is, I got this straight from the dictionary, folks. She's a saint for continuing to live with that man. Out of the dictionary, I promise. But then there are the more churchy definitions, right? A saint is a person who is acknowledged as holy or virtuous, typically someone regarded as being in heaven after their death. The formal term in the Roman Catholic tradition, a person who is recognized or canonized by the church after their death, who may be today the object of veneration or prayers of intercession. We also use that capital S, saints, when we talk about religious saints. We talk about St. Paul, St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Peter. Also, this is something that I just learned, because I don't have a lot of friends who are Mormons. A member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, when you are a member, they speak of you as a saint. The last definition or description offered for saint with a lowercase s. In biblical use, a saint simply means a Christian believer. That last broad category, that's the saint that I want to talk about today. Not the venerated and prayed to, not the founding fathers of the church, but the common, ordinary, everyday saints who live in sure and certain hope of resurrection and an afterlife with God. Which is to say, I'm talking about me and I'm talking about you. And you, and you, and even you. Saints on earth. According to the Christian scriptures, saints on earth are simply God's people. God's faithful ones, the followers of Jesus. In Paul's letters to the Romans and to the Corinthians, in the letter to the Ephesians, in John's revelation, the Greek word hagios is used, a word that sometimes gets translated as saints, but sometimes just gets translated as God's people. We understand that word hagios to mean a most holy thing, something or someone consecrated, sanctified, set apart. Which may sound strange to our ears. Really? I'm consecrated? Sanctified, set apart? Because most of the time I don't feel special or extraordinary. Most of the time I feel like I am, to contradict the scriptures, both in the world and of the world, not set apart from it. I'm far from perfect, far from holy all the time. How can I be consecrated and holy? How can I be a saint? See, that's the beauty of God's perspective. God sees not what we are, but what we can be and what we were created to be. And God names us as saints, not because we are saints already, but because God wants us to grow into our names. Like Abraham and Sarah in scripture, like Jacob and like Joshua, whose faith journeys show us ordinary people working at faithfulness, working at trust, working at holiness, living into their names. In the 2,000 plus years since Jesus' birth, there have been a lot of ordinary saints. I found a couple of stories about some of the heroes of our faith that remind us how very human and how very ordinary those saints were. Brother Lawrence is one such ordinary saint of the church. Brother Lawrence was born into a very poor family in France in the 17th century, and from an early time he knew hunger and poverty. He joined the army mostly because it guaranteed him meals and a stipend. Wounded in fighting during the 30 Years' War, he left the army and then served as a valet He was taken prisoner by German troops. He was treated like a spy. He was threatened with hanging before he was released. He became a hermit, and a few years later, entered the Carmelite Priory in Paris. And he spent most of his years in the priory, working in the kitchen, baking the bread. He developed a reputation for experiencing peace, and visitors to the priory would seek him out in the kitchen, where he wrote about finding God in the ordinary, in the acts of kneading and baking bread. A century before Brother Lawrence, Teresa of Avila was born to a noble family in Spain. Teresa had all manner of worldly possessions and opportunities before her. Instead, she chose the monastic life, became a Carmelite nun and a significant figure in the church as a mystic and an author. And then there's this story about Teresa, which biblical scholar Eugene Peterson talks about in an interview where he is debunking the myth that the saints of the church are not like you and me. At her Carmelite convent one day, one of the sisters found Teresa in the kitchen. Peterson describes it this way. Teresa is sitting in the kitchen with a roasted chicken. She sat it with both hands. She's gnawing on it. She's just devouring this chicken. And one of the nuns comes in and is shocked that she's behaving this way. And Teresa said, "When I eat chicken, I eat chicken. When I pray, I pray." Peterson continues, "If you read the saints, they are pretty ordinary people. There are moments of rapture and ecstasy, but once every 10 years? And even that's a surprise to them. They didn't do anything. We have to disabuse people of these illusions of what the Christian life is. It's a wonderful life, but it's not wonderful in the way a lot of people want it to be. Those holy men and women, those saints who live into that name, inspire us by both their holiness and their ordinariness." Southern Baptist preacher Carlisle Marnie used the image of a balcony to talk about the ordinary saints of our lives. Marnie used to say that your personhood, your personality, is like a house. It's a fairly elaborate and complex structure. Some are fancy, some are sophisticated, some are simple and functional, some are ostentatious, some are modest. Each of us has rooms. We have a formal parlor, a formal persona for greeting guests. There's a family room. It's where we are with our family. There's a bedroom for more private, intimate relationships. There's a kitchen. Marnie said every one of us has in the structure of our persona a basement where the plumbing is located and the trash is stored. And he said there is no need to spend your life there. Everybody has a basement. Come on up into the sunshine. Sometimes we act as if the plumbing and the trash bin are all there is to us. But if you come upstairs and you step outside on the lawn and you look up, you will see that the house that is you has a spacious, gracious balcony. And there are people up there on your balcony. Now, Marnie was a Southerner, so his balcony was white wrought iron and had wicker rocking chairs on it. "There are people in those rocking chairs on your balcony," Marnie said, "sipping iced tea or bourbon, depending whether you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian." The people on your balcony are the strong, positive influences in your life. Your heroes and your heroines, your models and mentors. Your parents are probably up there, your grandparents. But there also may be folks up there who you've never met but have influenced and helped shape you. And there might be some really big names up there, people whose lives inspired you from afar and called deeper faith out of you, courage and stamina and love and discipline. The people on your balcony are your saints. The way to observe All Saints Day is to walk out onto your lawn and look up and greet them. Call the roll, name them, wave to them, your saints, your dear ones, the great ones and the small ones. Your mother and your father, your coach, your piano teacher. Maybe Teresa of Avila is up there eating her chicken. I don't know. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Maybe Brother Lawrence is there. Thomas Aquinas. Martin Luther King Jr. Pope Francis. You know who they all are. Those folks whose lives have formed and shaped you. But guess what? You are also standing on someone else's balcony. There's someone else, maybe lots of people, who are standing on their front lawns of their houses, looking up and seeing you. Maybe it's your kids or your grandkids. Maybe it's the students you taught in school. Maybe it's colleagues you have mentored through work. Maybe it's neighbors or friends. It might even be people you haven't met, but you've helped. When you have given your time or your money to hurricane relief in Puerto Rico, or bought Christmas gifts for the Angel Tree Network, or supported the local food pantry, or Heifer International, or last year project in Mexico. People are looking at you, you who are the ordinary, imperfect sinners of the church, and they are naming you as saints, holy, consecrated, set apart, and gifted to do God's wonderful work in the world. So grow, you saints. Live and grow into your ordinary sainthood in ways that honor the God who names you and who calls you. Amen.